You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Currently, you're in Australia to meet with state and federal governments to discuss New Zealand's treaty negotiations experience. What's the relationship that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have with the Crown in Australia? How does it compare to the New Zealand government and Māori relationship?
I guess that's the point, is that they don't have much of a relationship. At least they don't have a treaty in the same way as we have Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which is the basis of the Crown restoring its relationship with Māori, as has been over the last 40 or 50 years. I think the commitment that's been made here in Australia by states and the federal government is to have treaties at a state level with their Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders populations, and then at the federal level to have a recognition at a constitutional level of that voice. So they're in the process of really only starting that dialogue now. I understand Queensland and Victoria, which the two states I'm visiting, are the most ahead in terms of engagement with the Indigenous population. So really the purpose of the visit is to talk to them, see what they're doing, and talk about the New Zealand experience. We've had experience, by no means suggesting that we're perfect in what we've done, but we've had an experience of how to bring to life a treaty which even in its first 120 odd years wasn't particularly well respected.
What kind of subjects and advice will you be giving to the Australian governments?
Well, so I'm here to give advice. I'm here to sort of share insights about our experience, about the nature of the relationship, certainly the commitments that the Crown made in 1840, and how in the 21st century, or since the latter part of the 20th century, how we've then worked with Māori to address the historical wrongs, acknowledge and accept them, and sometimes, appalling wrongs by the Crown, but then what it takes to restore the relationship and have a relationship that means that the promise of the Treaty of Waitangi is fulfilled, even if it will take some time to do that. So it's partly, I think, it's about sharing that insight, and then and I'll also be talking to leaders of Indigenous communities about from the Crown New Zealand experience, about what that has looked like, to give them some insights to help them work out how they want to conduct their relationship with the Commonwealth over here.
Moving on, a couple of months ago you announced a pathway for nurses from overseas to be able to get to New Zealand residency after 2 years of working in the country. The National Nursing Council estimates around 4,000 nurses are needed. So far, only 22 have arrived since August. Could you please explain to us how many applicants have we received so far, and when do we expect more of them to arrive in New Zealand?
Yeah, so we've had about... there's two things happening, I think... which may not have been clearer in the debate so far. So at the time that we announced what's called the accredited employer work visa, we were also phasing out what was the critical purpose visa for health workers. And so there's been a bit of an overlap. There's actually been, since July, there's actually been about 380 health workers cross the border, or nurses have crossed the border from overseas to work in New Zealand. 22 of those have been under the accredited employer work visa. The rest have been under the old critical purpose visa. The reason for using those figures that way is to illustrate that big number of critical purpose visa nurses are the ones who have applied sort of in the months leading up to July and the end of July, but are only now starting to arrive. And the same will happen with the accredited employer visa. So in addition to the 22 accredited employer visa nurses who have crossed the border and are here, there's about another 120-odd who have applied, who have either been approved but haven't arrived here yet, or who have applied and haven't got their approval yet, but almost certainly will and will get across the border at some point. Those numbers, the weekly numbers of those applying to come and work here, are growing. But the nature of these things, particularly when people are coming here to take up an almost guaranteed pathway to residency. They don't sort of apply, get it, and then hop on a plane the next day and come over here. They've got to sort out the rest of their lives back where they are, close everything down, ready to move over here and come over here. So the numbers look small at the moment, but if I look at the comparison with the other visa that has been placed up to the end of July, actually, we expect those numbers will grow over time.
When a nurse applies from overseas, what attracts them to come here? Do you think New Zealand is a very attractive place for nurses to pursue their career here?
Yeah, I mean, internationally, it's very competitive. There are nurse shortages around the world. So we are one place. Our reputation overseas is we have a good health system. It's under pressure at the moment, no question about it. Reasonably good quality facilities. Again, some improvements required because years of underinvestment that we're in the process of rectifying. And a better lifestyle, you know, and it's a safe country to be in. So a lot of people look at our track record on COVID and saw that, we saved a lot of lives in this country because of the things that we did. The way our hospitals were managed meant that people were kept safe, that we didn't have a health system that was overwhelmed in the way that we saw in other countries, including in Australia and UK and what have you. So we have a good reputation for people who want to work in the health system to come here.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.